First scripture in the Old Testament that deals with wisdom, that of Exodus 28 and 3, says, "Thou shalt speak unto all that are wise-hearted, whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom, that they may make Aaron's garments to consecrate him, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office." But it's rather interesting that it begins here with the typical arrangement of the priestly class, and noting the thoughts of wisdom of God. We're denoting the attributes of God, and the definition of wisdom, it says, as we looked it up in the concordance, it says, in a good sense, wisdom in a good sense. Skillful wisdom, using the same word there, but wisely. And we think of wisdom, we think of the word wise, and it gives us the thought of accumulated learning, aware of what's going on. The New Testament scripture, the first one there, is the thought in the New Testament of being a wisdom. Is a higher or lower, worldly or spiritual. And we see both of these things contained in the scriptures. In 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, verses 24 through 30, says, "But unto them that are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that which are mighty. And the base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, the things which are not, to bring to naught those things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption." Goes along with the character of God and his deliberation through his plan of the ages to conceal the plan and not make it known to the world. He cannot put the world in general on trial, and so he has revealed it to his people. We see both the worldly and the spiritual, as suggested in the definition in this New Testament, wisdom. The word wisdom. We suggest and know that the word wisdom is means an accumulation of knowledge. And this knowledge, of course, is given of God, because this is one of his characteristics. It's a part of him. It's like saying we have a direct scripture that says God is love. We might as well say God is wisdom. He is the fountain of all wisdom. He yields it and gives it to those who he pleases. To show a progression there, we turn to Luke, the second chapter, and the 52nd verse, and it was talking about our Lord Jesus as a It says, "And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man." Showing a progression there of the knowledge that he was accumulating, and this was accumulating from God, which all wisdom stems. In that same chapter, in the 40th verse, it says, "And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him." Showing a progression there, we realize that our Lord Jesus was born as a man, and he had to grow, and he grew in wisdom This was one of the things that God helped him with, by showing him where he had come from, perhaps, giving him a background of this through his mother and the conception, the miracle that he was. It's a progressive thing. In this attribute of wisdom, God has chosen to impart that wisdom to different ones. We know that many have worldly wisdom. We think of like atomic power, those things that God has used to impart to different ones, not truth, not spiritual wisdom, but worldly wisdom, so to speak. You and I live with this. But he has chosen some to do one of these things, a part of these things, and he's chosen others to partake of the spiritual wisdom. God is the source of all things. He is the source of wisdom. We go to him to find out through his word, through the Bible, most any subject that we want to deal with, we want to react upon individually as a consecrated person, we go to that, and he imparts to us that wisdom that is from on high. There's no other greater source. And so we go to that one, and through his word, and through that power of the Holy Spirit, he imparts to us from that fountain of wisdom those things that we have need of and that we inquire of. Little points of truth that have probably never been clear to us. And if we desire that wisdom that's from on high, and we pray diligently for that, God will hear that prayer. And he will impart that wisdom to us. He wants to share that. And the world of mankind, we know in the age to come, will look back upon this mess that Satan had brought about. The dying of all the human family, the death itself, the plagues that are upon the earth. He will cause, through his wisdom, to reminisce in their resurrection the blessing of that great wise God who has given them or imparted into them the trial period to be after that they have had the experience. The world of mankind in general are having an experience of what sin and death is all about. Only a wise God could have devised a plan, an orderly plan, by which he could have given these people an opportunity for life in another age. To give them the experience of what it's all about first, of what death and sin will lead to. That sin does lead to death. And death is an absence of life. And by all rights, man was condemned to death through Adam. But he made that provision to give his only begotten Son a ransom for all. We see the plan of the ages unfolding from a wise God. He thought about all of these things beforehand. He made provisions for all of these things beforehand. You and I have trouble, perhaps, knowing where our shoes are the next morning or something of this sort, some simple thing. But God has planned throughout the ages, not only for today and tomorrow, but forever, through his wisdom, has made arrangements for man to live here in a perfect environment upon God's green earth when it's rehabilitated to his expectations. we must think, too, that God is the highest degree of wisdom. That's one of his attributes. That is a part of him. We attribute it to no other higher plane of wisdom in that fountain that comes from him. He is able to show to us through his wisdom. You and I now have a little foregleam of the imparting of that wisdom to us, that we can see this great God having a plan and a purpose for the human family. This plan of the ages that he has designed, no fallen human being, no other person, no other spiritual or whatever, heavenly, could have devised such a plan, an orderly arrangement, and have carried it out as only God could. It's through this wisdom, this glance into the future of his hopes and aspirations for the human family to be in a perfect environment, perfect family of God, people, and a relationship between God right here upon the earth. He was willing to wait many, many years. He has been willing to suffer those who took his name in vain, without recognition. Must be hard to do that, but God in his wisdom had foreknown this plan, and he is executing it according to his will. He saw the necessity of the Lamb of God. He saw the necessity of the redemption of the human family. Before he put all of this into practice, before he ever started the formation of the earth. And this is why that he chose to give the world of mankind an experience of what sin and death was all about, and provided a ransom for them that they might have a genuine opportunity for life right here on the earth. As we all know, many think that the only place that man has is either heaven or a hot place. But God created this earth not in vain, but he formed it to be inhabited. He has not altered that plan. It will be done. God has ordered it. And we can rest assured that it will be thus. This plan also, through the wisdom of God, requires and will require the obedience of those who are brought forth in this world of righteousness. It's stated in the scriptures, God has appointed a day, a 1,000-year day, God has appointed this day, in the which he shall judge the world in righteousness, not under satanic order that we see, but under righteous rule, the authority of the kingdom. We see many of these things before our minds, and it only proves that no other one so wise, God Almighty himself, to come to and bring together a plan for all mankind. Proverbs, the first chapter, verses 1 through 7. The Proverbs of Solomon, the Song of David, Song, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings, the fear or reverence of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. Those who do not know God despise that correction, that instruction. But in the age to come, it won't be that way, because the knowledge of the Lord shall fill the whole earth as the waters cover the deep.